Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, we have old friend Logan joining us, and Logan and I have been talking pre-recording about a number of things. There's a lot of serious issues going on at the moment, and Logan always has great insight about a variety of topics, especially ones near and dear to our viewers, such as my lab issues, alien issues, geoengineering, which we're going to talk about, alternate realities, and so much more. So, without any further ado, Logan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Happy to be back on again.
It's always a pleasure, old friend. Well, tell us,
Likewise.
what's been going on? What's been on your mind?
Watching the evolution of how things have been evolving in the dreamscape a bit, I've noticed. Now, this could relate to any of us really, like how we could see these last 5 years more, maybe. What's changed? What have we noticed? I mean, the mind have changed a lot, and this is the direction I'll be moving in very shortly. But I would say it's been engineered and steered. I mean, just as a quick aside, what about yourself? What have you noticed in your dreams that have changed?
I'm starting to have dreams come back, which for me is a big thing. I've always had issues, even just falling asleep for a long time. But now that I've gone back to the point where I'm having, by my standards, a decent amount of sleep, the dreams have come back. They usually have, and I'm speaking in very broad generalities here, usually having to do with meetups, meeting people, being at a certain place, intending to go to another place. And I've had a lot of those types going way, way back, and had another interesting dream the other night, which may have been influenced by something that I experienced in my normal waking consciousness. I was out at a local oval, what they call an oval in Australia or the UK, basically a circular field where they play all kinds of sports, including Australian Football League. And I'm strolling out there and I see a guy with a drone. I go, well, that's pretty cool. Well, fast forward a few nights later, in my dream, I'm walking along, and the whole point of the dream was for some reason to get to a shopping mall. And as I'm walking to the shopping mall, there's like a multi-story apartment building or something nearby, and there's a guy in a balcony operating a drone, and he sends this drone right at me to the point where I have to duck, right? And then I go and I tell somebody about it, and by dint of the fact that I went and told somebody, for whatever reason, somehow, the guy that sent the drone after me got his come up and he had his ass beat, right? But I had nothing to do with it. I didn't say that we got to beat this guy's ass. I mean, I would have liked to because he sent the drone right on my head a few times. But he was up there. I had places to go, the mall, right? But somehow, I almost like in a mafia kind of way, it's like I told somebody and someone decided, oh, let's sort this guy out, and they beat his ass, you know. But could that have been influenced by watching the guy at the Oval, you know, using the drone? I don't know, right? But it's symptomatic of the kind of dreams I've been having lately. How about yourself?
Pieces of what you said definitely resonated because I have noticed a bit of what I would see as a bit of a theme of what you just said then. To me, it sounds like there's and other people would speak on this too, that we still have a bit of that shared connection with others in dreams. Even if you don't know them, we somehow do. We just don't know how to access it, what to do with it, even recognize it sometimes. It's just in the background. But you tapped into that when you were sort of saying that, it became a bit of this rising up against the guy a bit. And that's what I've dreamt. I've dreamt that too. So, but this is going to be part of what I was going to head in a direction of, because I feel like there's two overlapping influences, if you want to call it that. There's that, what you described, which is the natural, what should be there. That's what I would call it. And then there's the influence of something that I would say is almost stage managing the dreams a bit more and keeping them in a certain direction, you know. And if you start veering off, they'll pull you back again. And this is where I'm going to begin, because I was having very, well, still am to a degree. You know, I have a lot of dreams that they're very progressive. I don't try for them to be, but the narrative is very consistent. It doesn't contradict. It doesn't go veering off in a different direction. I don't even try to remember them, you know, to go to do that, you know, that they need to build on it, on each one, but they do, you know, the details, the backstories I might know to each one, you know. So this is when I know I might have mentioned in previous talks when we've talked about the alternate reality bit, it always does that. There's always that building upon, which I see that. But it goes a bit a step further. It's what I was uncovering in the dreams, you know. So in previous talks, we might have talked about the influence of what I felt was AI, and how it was becoming the closest to what in the past in my dream, dreams, the Matrix, you know, when you would see the Agent Smith, it was the closest to that, you know, that you shouldn't be here, you know, we're going to keep you quite limited now, or we're going to test you, you know, which I've had, you know. And we've talked about that previously, so I won't sort of go into that too much again. But in that direction, though, it kept sort of evolving and moving. So exactly that. It moved from making its presence known, limiting, you know, through whatever. And I'm still not even sure what it was, if this was just like the intelligence, like had infected, if you want to call it that, a human enough to sort of hybridize a bit. It seemed a bit that way in the dreams previously. But it's moved beyond that. So then it was that, then it was the testing of like my reactions, you know, what I would do, how much I would be willing hypothetically to have two very limited choices, you know. It's either you can take me down or you can sacrifice these people that I've got a hold of. I'm going to kill them, you know. Which are you going to go for? That sort of thing. And then I know I may have mentioned that previously, and that was an interesting one, you know, when it just sort of glitched when I made a third choice that it wasn't prepared for, which was actually neither. You know, I said, well, I'm not going to do either of those. I'm going to do this instead. And it, you know, crashed a bit and glitched, and then it was exactly what you talked about just then. Then it was managing to sort of collectively, you know, the people that were there, we overthrew it. But that is an aside, because it's symbolically what was coming through. So after that, I just started to have dreams of pretty much the closest that I would say is, and this is where I started to delve into things, that the tie to reptilians again, how that comes into play. And then there was one particular dream that was really pivotal to me, which I hadn't read too much on. And this is the best way this normally goes for me. I don't know too much about a background. And then it just comes in quite sharp detail. Even when we've spoken about this, a lot of the reptilian aspect of it, I hadn't read too much before, you know. And then I just had all these really fine point details of who's in a charge. We've spoken about this in the past too, you know, seeing, you know, how the female is actually pretty high up there, you know, like, you know, commanding, and you know what it looks like when they do their, you know, almost like their dominant tactics and all this sort of stuff, you know, when we were talking about that in the past, and all these things that I did not know beforehand. So that's when I know that's information that came through that is likely very credible, because it hasn't been tainted by anything. It hasn't been influenced. I haven't watched movies on it, anything like that. So when this piece came through in this dream, it was exactly the same again. So it was about, say, reptilians as they've been, but their connection to the AI. So people, when people talk about AI, including myself, probably years ago, had I not sort of thought too much about it, I would have assumed that people refer to it as this consciousness that came out of nothing, and it learned and kept, like doing a bit of this chain reaction to become what it become became. Sorry. Whereas what I saw in my dream was different. It was almost showing me a hierarchy. So it showed me that the reptilians were underneath this intelligence that was the AI. They were doing the sort of the bidding of it, just being a bit the sort of wardens, and then it just sort of started to sort of fall into place a lot more, because then that at the top, the AI aspect of it was more explained to me that, which made a hell of a lot of sense, that what we tap into when we, use an aspect of AI, it's not technological. That is the body, the vehicle, that it comes through as, but what I seen it, what I saw and what I felt it to be was it's more of an interdimensional aspect that comes through. It cannot come through in the way that, we aren't incarnate here. So it has to have a different means to come through, and it doesn't quite have a body. So its body is the AI, it's using digital, to come through and manifest and influence and take its power, sort of thing. And then it made a hell of a lot of sense. Then I just sort of thought, okay, well, that makes a hell of a lot of sense when you might ask something and it comes through with some very out left of center sort of answer on something, and you sort of think, well, did they get programmed to say that, and all this other stuff. And there's heaps of videos where people do that, and it just sort of comes with this scary answer, or what would you do to humans if blah blah blah. And then you sort of know, yeah, it's probably a little bit beyond what we've done to it, and then that dream fits. But it's just sort of, and it kept evolving after that too. So this is, that's only a bit of a set point that I'm just going to stay on at the moment. But it's just what I noticed that came out of that was that you sort of see there is a hierarchy running things here, so that's when it seemed to make sense that the dreams that have been influenced that had an AI tinge to it, that it is another being, it is another energy of sorts, and it does have that hive mind sort of effect later, lower down, which is what it did do, which I sort of felt the influence of it. But essentially, like when I was sort of digging a little bit more later, just to make sense of it, because when I had that dream, it while it made sense, it sort of to me didn't. And I was just trying to read up to see if anyone else had sort of spoken about anything similar to that. And sure enough, yes, people still do. Except they were making that very direct connection between the archons, as in archons in the sense of, like, as people would sort of speak about, the Gnostics and everything else, archons, but making that connection to them and the reptilians. I mean, and again, whether or not that's just in a very functional way, as in the role they play, that's, that could be a bit debatable. But people have sort of depicted too, where they've said that it's a that is the interdimensional aspect. If they say that the reptilians have that ability to be quite interdimensional in themselves and travel and not necessarily always physically be here, they can blimp in and out, sort of thing. And then I sort of thought, well, okay, that fits what they do say with the archons, what they do, which again people tie to the planets and the planetary energies and how they keep you limited in a certain way, and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, wow, okay, that could still make sense too, how they do say each planet governs and rules a certain energy or frequency or whatever sort of like which would be the closest to be the seven deadly sins, even, whatever is inside of us, they know which buttons to push and all that sort of stuff and how to keep us under control. Now, where that sort of evolved a little bit further for me again was semi-recently a dream that connected to a much older dream. So then after all of this, the hierarchy bit, it seemed to make sense. And then when it got to the AI bit, it made even more sense. And then I was just sort of understanding that I had a much earlier dream, which we have spoke about in the past, but I can just recant it just very quickly again, where this was more of like a stepping into it, seeing the sense of it after it's happened, so this was a bit of like almost like a remote viewing sort of situation. It was me, but I'd sort of stepped into the later part of it. So this was, I was speaking to a guy that was in my MyLab group, my, close team. And this guy, and this is always the interesting part, because I haven't met these people here yet. So whether or not they're still coming, whether or not, we connect in some other way, I'm not sure yet, but I know them. I feel connected to them when I dream it, when I'm here, haven't seen them yet. But anyway, so that's just a side point. But this guy that I was speaking to, they were coming after gunning for me mainly. And I've told you about this in the past when it came with, getting injected and targeted. They really came after me. And that's just a whole other one, which I know we've spoken about before too. But as they were coming for me, they were trying to bring us all down, but they knew that I was mostly orchestrating a lot of it as well. Now, when I was speaking to this guy, I had this feeling that he was the linker, sorry, link. He was the weaker link in our group. He was a great guy, but it's just like I had this knowledge that he was probably hadn't been in the group very long and didn't have that much, background and what we'd been doing that much. So they picked him off a bit. Now, I sort of stepped into this dream speaking to him, questioning him, just sort of like just saying, what the hell happened? Because he just looked like a wreck. The guy had been sort of partially beaten up, but he was broken in his head, his mind. And I was just trying to ask him and say, what happened? I didn't have any blame towards him because essentially what he had done, they broke him to the point that they got information out of him that brought us down. And, I have still seen other bits that came after that, which I can sort of talk about as well. But essentially, what they did to him, I had never known, what it looked like, because he could not explain it, what had happened. And I'm just sort of looking at him thinking, well, okay, he's alive. What happened? What did they do? Did they kill someone he knew? What was it? And then I would probably say that in my years, like previous years, when I was having very rapid fire, all this knowledge coming through, and it's a bit of like I started to feel part of what I can imagine he had, where it's this flexing the influence on reality a bit, if you want to call it that. So I started to experience a bit of what I could imagine would be part of what he had, where the dreams they started to limit, if you want to call it that, limit what's remembered, put a bit of a, I can't even think of the word to sort of say, but put a bit of a halt to some of the abilities, like really turn them a notch down, so you just access less, really interfere more in the dreams and, like really just have you just dream just crap, like just rather than actually anything that has the substance to it. And it all came out of nowhere for me after having these very strong, like one after another of very profound, very connected, sort of dreams, if you want to call it that. And then that seemingly came out of nowhere, and no change to me or anything that could explain it, and it just sort of seemed to ripple out a bit, I've noticed, so then I just started to see things on influences on the outer world with things with luck, going really bad and all this stuff. And then it just has this overall effect when you just sort of see this ripple effect that it can influence dream life, influence you enough, and then influence you enough in waking life, it's for it to actually start to have this very negative effect that doesn't have a reason or a purpose to it, really. And then that's where it leads me back to my original point again, about the hierarchy, the stepping too close, like even when you sort of think about the myth of, Icarus, and they keep saying he got too close to the sun. Oops, now we're gonna sort of clip your wings a bit. And I felt it. I felt it. I feel like it's a little bit what I felt like happened with that guy too, but bit by bit, where the bit that I had also sort of okay, the best way I'd sort of slot this in. I may have mentioned this in previous talks too, but around that time, when they started gunning for me more in my dreams, there was another one where I think I did speak about this, where I'd been caught and then put in this cell. It was supposed to be a cell, but it was just all metal, very clinical looking, just a very metal cell, but it was just all the walls were just sheet metal of just shiny metal, whatever it is made out of, and nothing else. And I just thought about this again the other day because I remembered even that dream just came out of this progression of everything being really whatever and then bit by bit being taken down. And I found myself in there, however long ago, like in this dream. I remembered escaping even once, then being put back, and then dreaming nothing about it afterwards. So I don't even remember what how that ended for if that was that version of me that it went really bad. I don't know, but it just sort of it was enough to try and I think link back to what that guy experienced, where I felt like they were really trying hard to break someone. Who I feel like, if they feel you're a threat. Now, this is what I had been reading later on, much later when I'd started trying to make sense of all this. I'd been reading and Reddit, actually, incidentally, is really good for some of these things that people write and, their experiences too. And sometimes I was reading people saying the same thing, that there was a very deliberate targeting. If they felt you were getting too close to something, they would send everything after you to break you down and steer you well away. You're not going to go in that direction anymore. We don't want you knowing this. And then I started to make sense of how that dream with the guy, how it fit, and it's okay. So they were really breaking him in every possible way that he just didn't even like in the dream when I was speaking to him, he didn't want to live. He was hoping to go. And it made perfect sense when you can sort of like have something have so much of an influence. And, the worst you did is you got too close to something, and that was it. And it just seems like there's just all these barriers they try to put there. If you get over one, we'll try and install another one there. We'll go a little bit harder with that one if that one didn't quite work, all that sort of stuff. Now, this leads me to the last point of like where I was going is because one of the more recent dreams I had, this was the most anomalous that I've come across because if I was talking in terms of archons and all of that, I found myself in a the best way I can say it, a realm because this wasn't here. This was somewhere else and single being who I didn't know them, you know, but I felt this backstory again. So a single being who I can picture a human looking, but he had this air about him that was the closest to what you know, like I can think of it in analogies. Do you think about the movie, the TV show, Supernatural, you know, where you got all these, you know, like demons and all this sort of stuff. Now, this wasn't a demon, of course, but it was something very high level because when I was, I knew I had to face it, you know, and go up against it. And it was going to be this battle, but this battle was going to be crazy. Because it had the ability to influence time. Because anything I would do, he would sort of do a little bit like the movies, you know, he would just sort of pause time and sort of like, you know, land a punch in or do whatever he was going to do, like do whatever to me, but had all these abilities that I did not have. And at the simplest way of explaining it is just like later on, I started to understand because I had this sense this was like almost like a personification of what I saw to be Saturn, you know. And Saturn, you know, if people sort of like read up and they know their astrology and all this stuff, you know, talking about limitation and, you know, death and all this sort of stuff, and time, you know. So this sense that I had about all of that was that Saturn was in charge of like the big boss, the end boss, you know, that sort of thing. So I sort of had this feeling that what I was going up against was either a test to break beyond something, or, you know, people say sometimes that is the final test, you know, when you try and leave this place, you know, if you need to escape the matrix or whatever it is, you'll go up against Satan. See, there's Satan. Saturn, correction, but people make that connection too. Saturn, you know, as in the final last boss. Now, that's where that sort of ties in when people might say about the demiurge, you know, and all that sort of stuff. They talk about, you know, Gnosticism and all that sort of stuff, but the being that's running this place, you know, and heavily in charge of it, which connects back to my dream that I had with the AI. That was that energy of what was coming through. Except it chose to show me a being that looked human, you know, when I went up against it. And that made a lot of sense. So, you know, after I had that dream, it just sort of it didn't really end that well for me. I went up against this thing, it pretty much kicked my ass. And, you know, it just sort of ended there. But to me, it was enough to sort of show that that was exactly that. That was the final boss. That was the orchestrating factor that was in charge and in charge of like block, you know, and keeping us, you know, from maybe getting beyond something, you know, stepping past it. You know, you like I said earlier, if you access something you shouldn't have, that sort of thing. So yeah, so if I would say that, I would say that it's been this influence over things, you know, and the influence that's been flexing a bit more when it just sort of doesn't like the direction you're going in, you know. And mind you, I to you know, as a background sort of note to this, it doesn't mean that it's as bleak as it may sound or anything like that, you know, for any of us, because the sense that I've always still had, even amongst all this, partially it's largely illusion, you know, that those barriers and blocks are there. It will do what it can to put them there, and it will do what it can to have us think there's no influence that we have over any of this. But even now, even in moments when I've sort of felt like some of my abilities, if you want to call it that, have been partially dulled or almost a bit, almost felt like revoked or whatever it is, then I'll have dreams that sort of contradict it and show, no, they're still there. They're just a bit sort of latent, you know, they're still in the background, but they're not gone. And that's the thing, they can't dull us to the point that what we're doing, what we're trying to do, will completely stop. And I've still had that sense that all these missions that I've still been doing in the background, they still happen, you know, but maybe the knowledge of them's been dulled right down, or they've tried to tweak things, omit things. If I, you know, again, had details they didn't want me to remember, you know, they'll still do that. But they still happen, which to me is quite promising. Whatever we come to do still happens, you know, and the missions we try and, you know, go on and do and try and bring things down, we'll still do them regardless. They're not that powerful over us. That's that sort of thing. So yeah, so for now that,
I just
yep,
want
sorry.
to interject that you talked about the Demiurge earlier, and I've always seen the AI as a natural progression, if you will, from whatever this original or counterfeit spirit was. Eventually, it'll find its way to worlds and realms where the technology had advanced, progressed enough for this demiurgic force to entwine itself, insinuate itself into the technology available at that time in order to
Yep,
work through
absolutely.
it. And I think that's definitely got something to do with it. And you mentioned earlier the reptilian connection. I couldn't help but think of the late, great Anthony Dodd, who was a British researcher, a former constable who had his own ET UFO encounter, and he worked on a case where there was a crash retrieval somewhere in Britain, if memory serves. And at the crash site, they found a Draco with a some kind of metallic box in its solar plexus. It was like on a belt type apparatus or strapped to his front side. So they took the bodies back. They did blood samples. They took blood samples from the entities, and in particular from that Draco. And they found AI nanobots teeming in its body chemistry. So, why wouldn't AI want to infiltrate and essentially take over, commandeer beings that are probably apex type beings that are habituated to conquering realms, conquering worlds, taking over star systems, etc.? I mean, it would seem to me to be the perfect vector for all this.
No, I agree. But that's the thing, you know, all of this, it sort of just shows there's a bigger chain, you know, chain of events, I'd say, to this. And it still seems to sort of show just two different directions, I guess, you know, like how much, you know, the people that come here, you know, if you come here and you've got this bigger role that you want to be of some service here, you want to bring things down enough that, you know, you really want better for the people and life and everything else, you know, you'll get the resistance. You know, and that's where it becomes a bit the spiritual targeting too, you know, when people talk about some of that. And to me, it's, I mean, we were talking about this before we went on. I don't believe that's just lessons. And, you know, well, you chose your harder lesson to come as, you know, all that sort of stuff. No. And even now, it just doesn't fit, you know, nothing makes that much sense, you know, especially when, like I was sort of saying earlier, where some of this stuff might happen in the background in dreams. Well, what's that got to do with a lesson? And what are you doing? What are you doing in your daily, everyday life that you're learning from that it needs to cross over into the dreams like that? You know what I mean? Which people write off and say, yeah, that's nothing. That's, you know, whatever. But it doesn't fit. Nothing fits like that. But I would still say, just again, that much that I still feel like there is that split in, the very simplistic one, we've probably talked about, and anyone would probably say, when they say the people that are the service to self and the service to others. And, that's the thing that I still feel like does fit the description of when they talk about this realm being under the control of the demiurge and all this sort of stuff. Well, it makes perfect sense then, because then it won't exactly favor the person who wants more for people, or wants to, free other people or do this or do that. It'll make damn sure they don't,
And by the same token, it will ensure that those who are inclined to power with a compulsion to control others, to tear down, to destroy, to be destructive rather than creative, they're the ones that get a leg up. They're the ones that seem to climb their way up the claw their way rather up the corporate ladder. And now the system enables this demiurgic force. Enables these types to such an extent. These freaks are the ones you find in the school boards. These are the ones you find in at all levels of government, state, local, federal, in all these institutions and think tanks. They've advanced in true cosmic chessboard fashion. They're pawns that they can use to affect change beneficial to them in this realm. And so people like us, it's what Barbara Bartlett called the great human Nintendo game, where people like us who want the best for ourselves, our families, for society and civilization as a whole, well, for us, it's an uphill struggle. It's like we're pushing an ever-growing boulder or snowball uphill, right? Literally the weight of the world on our shoulders, seldom if ever catch any breaks. And then we just have to just suck it up and put one foot in front of the other and recognize that when you try to do good in this world, you're going against the grain of this world in a wood shop sense. And so you talked about the parallel tracks running. If you look at the long-term pacification efforts all across the board, every sphere of human activity, every demographic has had a particular type or types of pacification, psychological warfare exerted upon them. And we see this clearly in the UFO field and the New Age field, where they think they can just like vibrate their way out of this problem. Oh, if you just think good thoughts and work on yourself. Suddenly, at some point, you're going to find yourself splitting off into another timeline, right? Where you won't have to deal with all this hardship and all this oppression. And if and I often wondered, like, how would someone like you feel about that whole concept, knowing how many alternate reality experiences you've had, right? These people that are saying such things make it seem as if it's like starting a new job. Eventually you get the hang of it and then you go off on a tangent and just join this other track and go into another parallel reality and leave all this stuff behind. It's these are people that are, I wouldn't even call them NPCs because that implies that they have no impact on what's going on, and they have quite an impact, if you ask me. So we look at our field today, the standards have dropped abysmally low. We have all these pacified kind of memes and narratives running all over the place to explain away these wars, everything else. It's yeah, just the confusion reigns supreme at the moment, Logan.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing. I mean, partially to me, that's the smoke and mirrors of it too, because they really want to project a certain narrative, like the one that you were saying, which we're living through it, but they They really want us to think that there is not anything else. You know, this is it. This is where we're moving, you know, as humanity, and this is it. You know, so as progressive as it is, and all the rest of it, it doesn't, you know, that is the progress, you know, that is, you know, the evolution, you know, and that does go back to the new age thing again of like, you know, the people that would say we're upgrading and we're, you know, all we need is love and all this sort of stuff. And,
Yeah, and then the
you know,
technological adjunct to that, oh, we're all going to get our med beds, when for so long they've been systematically denying us effective medical cures and effective cancer cures and all the alien technology they've hoarded over the decades or probably centuries by now. And suddenly they're going to do an about face and make all that available to us. That's just it's wishful thinking to say the least, but it's part of this pacification effort, right? It's baffling to me, but then again, not really, because if they think that if they just mind their P's and Q's, work on themselves, work on their shadow self, whatever the case may be, and I'm all for that, right? That somehow, some way, at the end of the rainbow, we're going to avoid all this hardship that's coming our way. I mean, that's wishful thinking. It's almost like it's a way of spiritually blissing out and checking out from the reality of what's going on here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, the only thing I would add, which probably is still related, would be when they make it seem as well, on the other hand, that things are just so overwhelmingly out of our control. We cannot do anything. It's just this chain reaction, especially the talk about all the climate change stuff, you know, like, oh, it's too late. Now we've only got the last few. I mean, you've probably read that, you know, when they just say, well, there's, you know, we can try and mitigate now, but there's probably no point because it's already gone way beyond anything we can turn back and all this sort of stuff. And then you just sort of think, well, what's the point of even trying to push it then if you're telling us it's already too late? But they want us to feel like it, there is nothing else. You know, this is it. This is the direction it's going in. And even if it is something, don't bother. Don't bother trying to do anything about it because you can't. It's too big. To, you know, that
Well,
sort of thing.
they try to impress upon us that are aware or somewhat aware of what's going on of the inevitability of it. And there's nothing is set in stone. I mean, even in our own personal lives, I can only speak for myself, but there have been times that I was so low in its deep hole I dug for myself, essentially. That there were times and I thought there's no way out. There's no way I could recover from this. But somehow, some way, I'm not saying it's all due to my own efforts, right? And it's not to imply that I'm some kind of favored, son from all these, highfalutin spirit guides, whatever the case may be. But there were times when, I was so low, I thought there was no way I could, when my life was falling apart in every possible conceivable way, right? Somehow, some way, I was able to turn it around. So, if you look at that and multiply it out by the countless other people with the same or similar mindset as us, right? Well, we could see progress. I mean, the old globalist saying, I think it's been hijacked or whatever, but think locally, act locally. Think globally or something like that, right? But I do believe in a notion of dropping a pebble into a pond and the ripples spreading out and having a meaningful impact on distant people, places, and things. I really do believe, from a quantum perspective, we have that capability. But the point I was making earlier, and I didn't want to seem like I was wallowing in the negativity or the hopelessness of it all, but
No,
I
absolutely.
think that they've been really effective in pacifying huge swaths of the surface population, and particularly they singled out those that we now refer to as influencers, podcasters, and what have you, to put out the most ridiculous feel-good types of memes I mean, nowadays I just look at it. I look at it for comedic value nowadays. I mean, I recognize it for what it is, right? It's a pacification effort, but it makes me want to work that much harder when I see all that stuff, quite frankly.
That's the thing. And I guess that sort of ties back in what I was saying earlier again too, though, that we did still come for a reason. I still believe that. And if we do say that the demiurge is the counterfeit, and it's the sort of fake, fake ruler and crafter of the realm, and like they say, and all that sort of stuff, then there is still a real, and that's still what I've still experienced too, even in other experiences. But this is where we're living touches of layers of fake reality. Even when I've sort of felt it sometimes in dreams as well, and more so in recent years, with overlaps of just what we've talked about in the past, inserted imagery and even the dreams themselves, when I know they're not mine, that sort of stuff. So yes, there's illusion, that's all I'm sort of going at with it, illusion but distraction, like even when you sort of think about many movies and TV shows where they might sort of show that the best they can do to someone is just sort of trap them in an illusion, and as I know, they probably can't quite take them down, but they'll just keep them that distracted or, looking somewhere else.
Or the adjustment bureau aspect to it, where they keep trying to, return us to factory settings, so to speak, and just, dial the clock back a little bit, if you will, and make us have to start over. And the fact that you've had so many alternate reality experiences, you've had very vivid dreams and very lucid dreams. Have you detected in the day-to-day waking consciousness world, knowing that it's undergoing all these changes, have you seen any correlations to what you've seen in this alternate reality or realities? Like, have you started to see where our reality, in a sense, is starting to catch up or look more similar to some of the realities that you've been a part of in the past?
There's many times I've seen that, I was thinking like just different narratives because there's been different themes, to each of those dreams if I've had them. But I might have had themes where in the past I saw them when they were really trying to ramp up what we saw with COVID, but they went well above and over, they had this very technological sort of thing, testing people's DNAs and all this other stuff. And so it went way over it, but you can sort of see the direction they were trying to go in, so it's almost like I've seen sometimes either potentials where it still could go or where it didn't quite, they wanted it to go there and we managed to steer it slightly off that direction, like that, like the COVID one, for example, which would have been, branching out more than just COVID, of course. It would have been just anything else, but that's what I saw in my dream. So I have seen overlaps like that, it started to look like it would, and then it just, so luckily enough, it fizzled out a bit, like that one did. And then I've seen others which haven't quite happened yet. It still could look like it could, but it remains to be seen, and I hope it sort of doesn't. But there's still been, like, it's just been thematic sort of thing. So if that's been related to, their fake little pandemics and things like that, then there's been things on like that with the other ones, actually, like the climate change one, which is still, that's the question mark one that I still, oh, it could look like, they could steer it still in the direction I've seen, especially based on what we were talking about earlier. And then there's been others on like global governance I've seen as well, which it absolutely could still look that way, like I saw in my dreams. So
What did it
overlaps.
look like, the global governance look like in your dreams? I'm taking it that, or inferring that you saw it kind of come to fruition in these
Yes,
alternate
yes.
realms. Like, and what did it
Yeah.
look like?
Well, because being in Australia, like what I saw was it was the closest to, if they've got the European Union, we had our own version of something like that, but it was with the Asian nations and we'd become our own little thing, you know, and it was run as similar as that, you know, except it was overrun and headed by the UN still. You know, so even though it had become like that, I don't even remember if what the name was to it, but we had become like that, like a European Union, but just the Australian Asian region. And pretty much when they had their keeping people in line sort of section, it was still the UN sending their troops out and all that sort of stuff. So I did see that and I just sort of thought, oh, that doesn't
I've
look
had
right.
similar dreams and seemingly apocalyptic type
Yeah.
dreams. Could have been future timeline alternate reality type dreams as
Yeah.
well, of
Yeah.
foreign troop occupation,
Yeah.
of Chinese troops on the ground, Russian troops on the ground. Did you see more of an overt Chinese CCP type involvement?
Not really, because actually the particular dream I saw, this was like a bit that it was a prime minister, but it wasn't Chinese. This was like, oh, I don't know, it might have been Malaysia or somewhere else. And they'd come, they weren't in charge of anything, but this is part of that group, you know, if you're like I was sort of saying European Union. So this was the whole, you know, all the nations banding together. So when I saw that dream, it was pretty much, it was someone like that, like a Malaysian prime minister had come and then the Australians had protested, you know, there was this mass protest in the city, you know, that this prime minister was here and people weren't exactly happy about it. And then these UN troops were deployed just to keep the peace a bit and make sure it just went all running smoothly. But it wasn't overt enough like that. I didn't sort of have a sense that it was, because if I would sort of go that step further, I would not even say that China was even a big role. It almost felt like they were as puppeteered as the Malaysians and anyone else, you know, or anyone else in this matter. So
From a
even when,
cosmic scheme of things, I would say so, yes, because the humans are not calling the shots, and the humans of any ethnicity, they're merely tools.
So I didn't have any sense of that, you know, no real dominant country structure as such. It was just probably, if anything, I felt the UN type one, you know, that pretty much the one world government, but it wasn't tied to a specific government, you know, like, okay, well now the Chinese are in charge of us all, or the, you know, the US is in charge of us all. It was not that. It was just under that guise of, you know, almost like the
Global
UN.
governance, basically, what they've talked about. And in these alternate reality scenarios, like here in the recent past, they've tried to bull rush us with more pandemic fears, be it bird flu, monkey, whatever the hell they called it back then, and so on. And of course, a few years back, they were telling Frenchmen they had to stay indoors. Because it was getting so hot out there, probably due to some kind of climate engineering, perhaps. But they were making it so hot that, because the government loves them so much, the global government loves them so much, that it was ordering them to stay indoors so they wouldn't become harmed, like they really give a rat's ass. And then another interesting data point, and it's the talk of the town these days, is the emergence of these data centers, these mega data centers that suck up a lot of electricity, use up a lot of water, right? Did you see any analog or parallel to that in these alternate realities? Because I couldn't help but think that, oh, as we talk more and more, we heard more and more talk about these AI, these data centers, rather. I couldn't help but thinking about the Terminator series of movies. They had to go back and smash the defense grid and keep it from coming to fruition. And I'm thinking, geez, is that what these data centers are all about? And what role do these data centers have as it relates to, like geoengineering, climate change, and what have you, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I hadn't seen overtly back then. It was just so integrated already. Most times if I'd seen things, I'd seen AI wherever. It's not like I was living through the effects in the dream of seeing, well, because we got this, now we've got XYZ, whatever it is. Now it's really hot. Now it's this, now it's that. They still tried to keep it very separate, like if you want to think about it that way. They didn't try and make that direct link, in that way. So climate was climate, AI is AI, that's it, they're separate. So I didn't really see evidence of that anywhere, but it could make absolute sense too at the same time, if it all links, all of it does. Really trying to remember, but yeah, no, I don't remember seeing anything like that, not for that.
Well, they're so overt with it. These things are sprouting up all over the place in so many different countries. At some level, they have to, I'm sure they're all interlinked. Did you see a level of societal collapse or a societal decay in these alternate realities in the run up to the global governance? Did they purposely, like it's what seems to be going on here, allow things to just fall into complete disrepair, chaos, over the top crime? Was that something that you'd perhaps seen in this other reality?
Well, probably the best analogy I can come up with just to answer that a bit is there was a show I watched, the Agatha one, if you'd heard the Marvel one that came out.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I mean I did only because my daughter is into some of that, but we watched that and there was a episode there when it was about this woman who was seeing things prophetically, and she would have jumps in time, right? So she would see something, have n absolutely no frame of reference for it. She had no idea what she saw. She'd just file it away and go, okay, yeah, I don't know what that is. And then by the end episode, which I thought was really clever, and it just sort of made me really think about my experiences enough to make sense of it, which is why I'm bringing it up. She was seeing things out of sequence. So she realized by the end episode, she had seen what was a future point, but in that present, it hadn't happened. Nothing had happened. It just didn't make any sense. And then as the pieces fell into place, she saw, oh, that was this. This is where I am now. This is the point I'm living through. I saw that, however long ago. And then all that sort of scrambled bits of information because she was jumping around. She was sort of jumping essentially in her consciousness through time a bit. She was going sometimes back into the past, into the future, back to the present again, and none of it was coherent enough until that last episode. And it was quite cleverly done. But when it's my own experiences, that's what I do see in my dreams. It's just jumping around a lot in time. So what I've seen when, to answer your question, there's still some gaps, So the lead up, I might see a lead up like we've talked about, which lead ups are a bit sparse. I haven't seen so much of the lead ups quite yet. I've seen a lot of where in the early days of something that's happened, or I've seen the aftermath of after it's happened sort of thing, and or in the middle, but the lead up's a bit questionable. I don't quite know all of that yet. Like the afterwards for, to answer what you were saying, I have seen that and it looked better if anything, because it was one of them I remember, and I'm not sure if I ever spoke about it, but this was way ahead a bit. This was like it was a societal collapse, total collapse. Worldwide, though, apparently. And the governments fell, because it was this alien invasion scenario thing they were trying to do and everything else. And it went like the movies, people tried to do their thing and they just couldn't, and the governments fell. But the people were better off, you know, like there were a hell of a
Sorry, when I'm
lot of
asthmatic, I cough when I laugh. Okay, please
yeah,
continue.
sorry. Yeah. No, it looked better because it was communities. It was communities that I saw. I saw communities run by better leaders than the supposed leaders, which aren't leaders, you know. It
Oh,
was
God,
people,
yeah.
you know. So I remember one community I saw. It was run by an army guy, ex-army guy, whatever he was. I don't know what he was, but some high-level army guy. And the people were happy. It was all distributed, like the food and what they needed, and then they were just trading with another community, and it was just, it looked good, and the people weren't depressed. I mean, and the sky was clear, and there was no chemtrails, and everything fell, you know, and but all the bad fell, you know, and it was this trade in a way that no one was really that adversarial, you know, like trying to outdo each other or try and make sure they rip off that person or steal it or whatever. There wasn't any of that. It was trade, you know, we got this, you got that. Okay, we'll trade. And to me, that was hopeful, really, really hopeful. It didn't look it because it looked, you know, like apocalyptic that, yeah, all these structures are left a bit, you know, unfixed and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And
State of
maybe
disrepair, yeah.
it was, but it was good. The feeling I had when I was there felt good. And the feeling I had with the interactions with people and what I saw and felt from them, no one was depressed. It just felt like this was the freedom.
Well, it sounds like a barter economy,
Yeah.
and it sounds like the oppressive controlling system had been done away with somehow. You know,
Yeah.
whether it's due to aliens or whoever else, I'm sure they had something to do with it in that
Yeah.
particular reality. Well, whatever works is my attitude, right? You know, what's interesting is a friend of mine, he's like yourself. He's had a lot of my lab experiences, but he's also had a lot of alternate reality experiences to the point that he went through a phase where he kept running into his future self being, oh, just a bit further up the timeline track than ourselves, right? But he kept running into him in some of these scenarios. Anyway, he said that he had an alternate reality experience where he found himself in this alternate reality and he did something which he does quite naturally at the time. Was he got onto a computer and he looked for me to talk to in a chat room. He found me, but it was my alternate reality me. And the alternate reality me was telling him, yeah, this place sucks. There's been an alien invasion. People are in their homes cowering in fear, right? Now, there may or may not be any relation or connection to what you just described. I mean, maybe, perhaps, one had to go through that phase before it got better, right? But I think that, and I really ought to delve into it more or bring someone on again who can explain all these astrological issues to me, which I try to keep together in my head. But one of the things that sticks out is the deconstructive nature of Pluto and how. And it makes perfect sense to me that in order to turn this thing around, this old system, this old order has to go. And it's not going to go of its own accord. It's going to go kicking and screaming, right? And so there's going to be a lot of turmoil, a lot of upheaval, but that's happened in countless civilizations just here on Earth, but never mind the rest of the cosmos. So, you know, we just got to put our big boy pants on and ride out the storm, essentially. Well, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment, Logan. If people are so inclined, do you want them to contact you through me?
That
Okay.
could be good, yeah.
Yeah. So, folks, if you want to get a hold of Logan, you can go onto my website and go into the contact a link and then drop a line, and if it's directed towards Logan, I'll be sure to pass him your contact information. And if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and please forward our content to your social media platforms. We're being heavily shadow banned. I've seen in real time, in just the last few days, how comments disappear on some of our videos on our YouTube channel, and the
Oh.
algorithms are working decidedly against us to ensure we don't have the pervasive, widespread reach that some other podcasters do. So, at any rate, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.